estate services, Lavazzi and Boob1.co.uk present the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast, episode 398. I'm Adam, and I couldn't be bothered. I'm fed up with this stupid quote business. But here's Debbie Melrose.
Now, must remember, how long's a rel?
Mary Lang.
I learned to think like a Dalek a long time ago.
And Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
The internal dimensions are bigger than the box's external dimensions. No biggie.
And I forgot to put my video light on. That's better. Right.
Ah, they can see myself.
There we go. Yes, today we're going to be looking at Resolution, which is a Doctor Who story. The first and only Doctor Who story, apparently, of 2019. Because if they're saying that, that means there won't be a Christmas special this year.
There'll probably be a New Year's special.
Well, I bloomin' well hope so. But we'd hope there'd be a Christmas one. It's been a fine Christmas special, this one. Although they kept on talking about New Year in it. Anyway, Happy New Year, everybody!
Happy New Year!
Happy New Year!
A bit more enthusiasm, please, Mrs. Melrose. Happy New Year, everybody! Woohoo! Oh, okay, fine. well, we haven't been on since prior to Christmas. Anybody got any Christmas presents that haven't been delivered yet? Or
yes, I haven't given you yours yet.
No, we're talking about woohoo, Christmas presents. Anybody not had any Christmas presents that could have been delivered in the last 2 weeks?
Well, mine is on its way.
Yeah. What are you receiving?
I'm receiving a TV, a new TV, a smart TV.
Oh, is it wearing a suit?
It's going to dwarf my living room.
is it wearing a suit?
I doubt it.
Well, how is it going to look smart? Lillian Robin says, hey, and then she says, Happy New Year. So Happy New Year to Lillian.
Yeah.
She knows today. And Kirby, what are you waiting for? Christmas present wise.
Not waiting for anything.
Oh, did you get any presents then?
Yeah, they all arrived for Christmas.
Well, my main one was actually a combination birthday Christmas present. It was that 10-inch tablet.
Oh, I just knocked my computer. Sorry for everybody who's listening then. I just bashed my computer, which meant there was a great big thumping noise that went through the live airwaves. Debbie, you waiting for any presents you haven't had yet?
No, but I'm waiting for something for Ida. Still waiting on some Mary Poppins bedding, so hopefully that'll arrive soon.
For Christmas?
Yeah.
Oh, is it a Melrose theme then, to sort of wait for things a long way after Christmas to actually
It does
arrive?
Seem to be that way.
Yes, it does, doesn't it?
All things just don't turn up full stop, yeah. Mm. It's a kind of a running theme in our house, I must say.
Okay.
I want to say, I love that dress that Tom arranged for you.
Oh, yes, my TARDIS dress.
Oh, yeah, that's very nice. Was that actually designed for last Christmas, that one, Debbie? Or was it actually supposed to arrive at on this particular Christmas?
It was for this Christmas.
It was for this Christmas, so breaking against the Melrose traditions there.
Yeah, no, that one was meant for this Christmas, but it's usually something for Isla that doesn't show up until months later, and then you get a little extra Christmas.
Yes, I'm trying to think what I got for Christmas. I got several bottles of sherry, but that's still not enough sherry for me.
You like sherry? Oh, God.
I love sherry. And I got some Big Bang Theory Funko Pops right over my left shoulder. I'm trying to point at them for the live people.
Ooh,
but all we could get was Raj and Leonard. They're very expensive, actually.
They're the ones you got from IslandCon, aren't they?
Yeah, very expensive. And also, I've got a Sheldon, but that wasn't for Christmas. I got that a while back. And what else did I get? That's about it, really. I got some sherry. So, I don't know. Might have got some sherry as well. Oh, I'd borrow chocolate, which is what's left of it is here.
You've still got chocolate left? My God.
Well, I have a large supply of chocolate. Like I've said on previous episodes, Twirl bars, picnic bars, and I've got a box of Walker's salt and vinegar crisps over there. But yeah, I think. Oh yeah, I've got a Big Bang Theory calendar, which is hanging on my wall there. What else did I get? I'll try and remember as the show goes on. Anybody else got anything that anything of any interest or anything? No. Okay. Fine. Right. Let's move on then. Right, yes, this week we're going to be looking at Resolution. Well, I say Laurie Nick says hello, hello Laurie. So Resolution by where's the thing? Oh yes, for some people very naughty. Well, we were trying to watch. Hello, Isabel. Are you on this show?
No.
Oh. What'd you poke your head through the door then for?
Well, did she tell us what she thought of it?
I don't know where she's gone. Isabella! Isabella!
Is she not back at school tomorrow?
She's probably trying
is.
To get back to her PS4. There she comes.
Yes, I was supposed to have one of those, but that didn't happen.
Tuck yourself around there and just give a quick brief thingy of what you thought of the episode.
Bye.
What? Bye. Yeah, tuck around. Shut that door.
No.
Well, cover your spot up and just come around it. Put your hair in front of it. There we go. Right. Not all the way in front of it. Right then. Yeah, so... it's like Cousin It. What do you... So... So what did you think of Doctor Who?
It was actually all right.
Actually all right. Is your summary? How's it compared to the rest of the Jodie Whittaker era? We can now call it an era because she's done more than three episodes.
Hmm.
What do you think?
I thought it was really good, actually. Yeah.
You enjoyed it?
Yeah.
We all enjoyed it, really, didn't we?
Yeah.
Any rubbish bits?
No.
Okay, goodbye. Right then. Laurie
Happy
Nick
New
says,
Year, Isabella.
Laurie Nick says she got pickled walnuts in my stocking. What's the matter?
No, I was trying to get like a skin on Fortnite.
A what?
A skin.
A skin?
Yeah,
what's that?
Fortnite,
what's that?
So that you get like an... Oh, don't worry about it. Okay, bye.
Well,
bye.
Yeah, you can't get it now. There's no money. And besides, you're not
so
supposed
you
to be spending
money.
Well, what's the problem then?
I'm
going to try and get it then, if you can get it. Just plays Fortnite non-stop. What was I talking about before that happened? Oh, yeah, Lauren says she's got pickled walnuts in her stocking. Well, surely if you go to Lillian, who's an expert in stockings, she's going to get those pickled walnuts out for you. I mean, that's a fairly good bit of advice, actually. Right, Resolution, which I thought they were going to change the name of the episode halfway through and call it Resolution of the Daleks, but there was only one Dalek.
They should have.
Yeah. Because we all knew there was a Dalek in it.
Only because it was spoiled by the rubbish trailer that they put in, you know, the teaser trailer, which had at the end of it, exterminate, which rather gave the game away somewhat. Okay.
So I believe we all see this in the same resolution, HD.
Moving on. Right. It starts off with...
I was asked to use that joke.
Were you? By whom?
It's on the Facebook group.
Oh.
Right.
Anyway. Tell me who they are, then I can get them blocked. Right then. So
No.
Resolution. It starts with a sort of a battlefield.
It's Rob. Yeah. Rob Lansdowne.
Oh, I'm not going to ban Rob. Starts with sort of like a battlefield with smoky things and a teepee in the middle of this battlefield, lots of dead people. Some scenes that are reminiscent
better.
Of what?
They're getting better.
Scenes that are reminiscent they remind me a little bit of Braveheart, all these soldiers running through and these explosions going off, and they're all sort of waving swords around.
They're not all painted blue though.
No, but yeah, so obviously there's a little bit of a wasn't there like a commentary over this bit explaining what happened?
Yes. Ooh, and Fred this morning when I was yesterday when I was rewatching came by and asked who is making this commentary, who's narrating
and who was it?
It was his dad, wasn't it?
His dad
was
Aaron or whatever his name is.
It sounded like Ryan's
dad.
Oh, huh. Okay.
I thought it was Ryan's dad because he features so strongly at the end. I'm pretty sure it was him doing the narrating, because when he came on as a character, I was like, oh, that's the voice.
Anyway, there's an evil alien, or not, I didn't say an alien, but it's evil creature which gets cut.
Well, we all knew what it was.
Yes, gets cut into three bit parts and transported to the farthest reaches of the planet. Of course, I thought at the time that getting it to the farthest reaches of the planet would have taken months, not years, maybe even years. The sort of transport they had to get them to the far reaches.
Yeah, back then, yeah, true.
But of course, two of the bits. Parts did get to the far reaches and got buried. They were wrapped up in cloth or whatever and buried and stuff. But one of them, and there was a shot of a desert island, which was lovely. And you wouldn't have thought, looking the size of it, that actually would be inhabited. And yes, it's a lot smaller than the Isle of Wight, Kirby, before you say anything.
That was about the same size.
Anyway, just when one of the other horsemen gets shot with an arrow, and and then that's it. And then we jump to sort of now, essentially. And some archaeologists are digging some stuff up. They find a skeleton with a
archaeologist
cloth. Oh no, what's that noise? Who shut a door? Someone shut the door.
Not me.
So they're digging up. There's a dig and there's a skeleton.
If they need an archaeologist, they need Ripper Song.
And shut up. And there's a bit of cloth with something inside it. And Barbara from Call the Midwife is very excited. She's got grown her hair a little bit for this. And she's alive again because she died. Oh, spoiler. Yeah, that's a bit of a spoiler. Sorry if anybody is currently watching Call the Midwife from a while back. Yes. Anyway.
Oh, well, yeah. It's a while back. It's not a spoiler.
Yeah, but some places have it at different times, don't they, nowadays? I don't know. Okay, I'll carry on then.
And I know it's... I think it's on Netflix here, but I have no idea how many seasons.
I'll tell you, it's a good program on Netflix you want to watch, Kobe. It's called The Crown. Really good program. That.
Yes, I'm well aware of it.
Yeah. And guess what's starting up next week on Fox? What? Orville's back! Woohoo! Oh,
the Orville already started here.
What?
Yeah.
Tom said it started last week.
Yeah, we've already had two episodes.
Oh, yeah, all right. Okay. Well, I bet you're on the second half of the Series 12 of Big Bang Theory over there, aren't you?
Yeah, we've watched it all.
Yes.
Yeah. Right, okay. Isabella got very excited because Melissa Rauch posted a picture of her with a Big Bang Theory script, which she thought implied there's going to be a Series 13. They've all gone quiet over there. Anyway, that was on Instagram. What did you bleat, sorry?
There's not going to be another series.
Okay.
Not going to be another series of what?
Big Bang Theory.
Big Bang.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, so there...
Pop Midwife is on here on our public station called PBS.
Yes.
So just to let you know, I mean, it's current. You know, we see it pretty soon or at the same time as it's showing over there.
Oh, good. So I haven't done any spoilers.
I can't see it because we're too far away to get the broadcast of any PBS station.
So the point is, I haven't given away any spoilers. I mean, Laurie Nix says, far reaches of Yorkshire. But anyway, we end up in the TARDIS, and there's a bit of a... They're having a bit of a battle with the controls. Oh, no, they're not, because the Doctor's showing them some supernova thingy. Where is?
Fireworks for, what, different...
19 different.
19.
Oh, you made some notes then, Mary. It's the same. Sorry, I'm going to surprise you one of these days, and we'll have a quiz.
We'll have a quiz. Yeah.
We're already prepared for that, Adam.
You said you don't take notes anymore.
No, but we're prepared for you to spring a quiz on us because that's the sort of shenanigans you get up to.
Only when
exactly.
I've got
time.
And I promise, any time we have a podcast where we've already done the story, I will not go back and listen to the previous quiz.
Yeah. Anyway, so meanwhile, after we see the scenes within the TARDIS, we go back to the dig, and they've put the sort of thing they found in the shroud in a sort of case with an ultraviolet light beam on it. What's the reason for this ultraviolet light? It must be something
it's
they do in
our... It's a plot point.
It's a what?
It's just a plot point.
But like, it resurrects... It stimulates the cells, the dormant
it's a
cells.
Resurrection
Excuse
of a dollar.
Me, you silly people. Do archaeologists use ultraviolet lights?
Why the ultraviolet light in the first place?
No, but that's not the point.
In case something that isn't revealed by normal light is there.
Yeah. So they do use them then, do they?
It picks up traces of blood, however old it might be.
Oh, okay. So it's a legitimate thing.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine. That's all I wanted to know. Laurie Nix says, yes, they do. Anyway, right, so they put
some
this thing in there.
Organic matter.
And lucky for us, and unlucky for all the people that die in this episode, it sort of regenerates the Dalek, which then beams its other parts to itself and becomes one again. Of course, we don't
which
know it's a Dalek.
Well,
you're not supposed to know it's
too.
A Dalek at this point. Yes?
Master,
what?
I don't think we've ever seen a Dalek do that before, but it's a science fiction film.
They did say, Kirby, this was a special reconnaissance Dalek, which is probably the only one of its kind in existence at this stage. So stop being naughty. This is Doctor Who.
So, I didn't have any problem with it.
I can't... The Doctor decides to go to where all the stuff's at. She's got. Did they get some sort of thing come up on the TARDIS console that said there's something going on? Yeah. So they sort of materialise in the hub of the action, and there's a splat on the wall, which Barbara, who's not actually called Barbara, I just want to call her Barbara for the because I just recognise her as Barbara.
I think her name is Lynn.
It's kind of obvious when they went to look, and she was like, "Oh, it's not there anymore." And I was just sat there with my head in my hands.
Yes, because there was an octopus.
Essentially. I wonder where it could have gone.
It looked very much like an octopus. It was stuck on the wall, so it's not there anymore. But there's a load of goo on the wall, which the doctor sort of pokes at. I'm glad she didn't lick a finger.
And when I was watching with Fred, she and I both called out at the screen in both cases, "Don't touch it."
Yeah, God's
sake. I didn't really have a problem with her touching it, because it's a problem with her licking a finger after touching. That would have been a bit. She does tend to do that quite a lot.
Lynn touching the Dalek.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, she was going to do that. Because it reminds me of episode one, which was another Chibnall story, where Ryan touched that thing in the which set the whole thing in.
Lynn's a scientist, so I understand that she would than the normal person in trying to explore something.
Yeah, she was also an archaeologist.
She's got a glove on.
She would then, because if she's especially a very curious person, isn't she? All archaeologists are curious and want find out as much as I can about everything.
What I always wanted to be.
I like archaeology. I do miss Time Team. That was my favourite Channel 4 evening
program. I still catch up with
it.
YouTube has it.
But I've seen them all, Debbie. It'll be like re-watching stuff. I just like the new
episode. Oh, yeah, my wife is watching those.
I love you. I love Time Team.
Aldrich! Oh, no, that's the other one with Tony Robinson.
YouTube and, all that. Brilliant. So catch up on everything. Rewatch.
She's acting fairly normal at this stage, but she has indeed got a spider. I mean, a Dalek.
Octopus.
Right around her back.
Well, they keep referring to her as a squid.
Yeah, so at this stage, the Dalek is sort of taking a little bit of control over her, but then its control over her becomes more powerful as the episode goes on. The Doctor, everybody have a little trip in the TARDIS. And land. Is it in Graham's?
Yes, house? Yeah. It's in Graham's place. Yeah. Destroy one of Graham's chairs.
And then, just at the right time, the doorbell goes and Ryan's dad turns up.
Mm-hmm.
It's certainly not welcome in Graham's eyes, anyway. But
no.
Or Ryan's initially.
I think Ryan's quite a forgiving person. But obviously he is, because he wasn't very happy about him missing the funeral and that, was he? But he hasn't got a lot of people related to him left, has he, really? His gran's dead, his mum's dead, so all he's really got in blood relations is his dad, so I suppose he has to give him a chance. But none of them give him much of a time of day, do they? And the doctor's sort of a bit off with him as well.
That straight away, she's like, "Your parenting skills are shit." I mean, sorry,
she
not bad.
Never
sorry.
Said that on there, Deborah.
I did. Sorry,
it's not Torchwood.
Excuse me, it's not Torchwood.
Anyway,
we're swearing. Sorry, this.
Laurie Nick said, "Really creepy looking, not cute, squeedy." Oh, squiddy at all.
Squiddy.
Yeah. But it was better looking than the previous incarnations of the Dalek creatures they've had in Doctor Who since 2005. Not trusted. I think that's what we can say about Ryan's dad. And Graham gives him a piece of his mind as well. And Ryan's dad didn't like the fact that Ryan deliberately called him Granddad in front of his dad. Found a bit
Gramps, he called him.
Gramps, all right, Gramps.
Yeah. Called him Gramps. It's even more of a progress from Grandpa or Granddad.
It is indeed, yes. So anyway, Barbara arrives home and takes her clothes off, and there's a spider, I mean a squiddy thing, attached to her back. And interesting, the slight sort of difference in which the voice modulator is done, because it's not a... doesn't come through a speaker, it's come through the Dalek's mind, so it does speak differently, which is quite clever. And somebody pointed out that Nicholas Briggs, Nick Briggs is called Nicholas Briggs in the title sequence, and where he's normally called Nick Briggs. Apparently, Nick Briggs himself on a thread on Facebook. Who is that bloke from Flashing Blade that I met up at Newcastle? Steve Hatcher, is it?
No.
He runs Hooverville. Anyway, he posted on then actually asked the question to Nick Briggs directly, because obviously I can't ask him any questions, he gets upset whatever I ask him, and he didn't actually answer it. I think he don't think he's that bothered whether he's called Nick or Nicholas. So anyway, yeah, she has a sort of, she tries to fight off, she's very strong-willed, this Barbara woman, she tries to fight off this squid, I mean this Dalek, but and by this point we now know it's a Dalek, do we not?
Well, yeah, I think we figured that out.
He's said he's a Dalek now.
It's properly creepy.
Yeah. So the Doctor, meanwhile, goes back into the TARDIS to analyse the gooey stuff that she picked up with her finger and thankfully didn't lick.
Yeah, that's what I was waiting for.
And then the Dalek forces Barbara to access the Black Archive. Because we know why. Because he wants to go in there and get a bit of Dalek artifact sort of stuff.
Master.
That owned... Oh, what now?
So, since the unit's been disbanded, yeah. I guess this other place got the Black Archive?
Well, the Black Archive was probably just online. An old website I set up about 20 years ago, I found, was still online, even though it's not accessible. So you did it in Microsoft Front Page many years ago, but it's still online. So, So anyway, they access the Black Archive. She tries to battle against it, but again, fails. The Dalek's too strong for her, and the Doctor realises that the goo is in fact the Daleks. And bearing in mind how many times the Daleks have invaded Earth over the many years, and it's all been forgotten. I found that quite funny, really. They were like, what's a Dalek? So she, the Dalek and her take a car out and head towards the Black Archive at very high speed, and very evil smiles from Barbara. I thought was quite good, and her possessed acting was almost as good as God rest her soul, Elizabeth Sladen's possessed acting. Anyway, they're going a bit fast, so they get stopped by the police. Master? Yes, Kirby.
I like all the windmills. Is the English countryside covered in wind electric
turbines,
generators?
You mean?
Yeah.
No, there's lots of turbines around, aren't there, Debbie?
Yes.
They're mostly made on the Isle of Wight, aren't they, Debbie?
Yeah, some makes them.
Yes, there we go.
Cool.
They're everywhere. If you go to Blackpool, you look out into the Irish Sea, you can see them on the horizon.
We don't have many here, though, do we?
Not on the island. There's a few on the island. They maybe would do protests about them. And
which is ridiculous.
Yeah, it is absolutely appalling.
They'll be the first to moan if they can't have a hot cup of tea.
They don't mind fields being covered in solar power panels, do they? But
yeah,
when it comes to
quite
a pretty thing, I personally think they're quite peaceful and pretty wind turbines. And I actually think they could actually do a bit more with them than just have them as a white object on the horizon. They could actually do some arty things on them, like they keep on doing with the Angel of the North. Apparently they put a Santa hat on the Angel of the North during the Christmas period, so they just need a bit of imagination.
Near where a lot of people are living, because they give off a sound that is
true. Yes, there was thought of putting them off this southwest coast of the island. I think there are some down there, are there, Debbie? No? Okay, I'll shut up then. Oh, what's...
I don't actually know.
Anyway, back to Doctor Who.
They tend to chop up birds, and that's a real controversy.
How can they chop up birds? The blades are going around so slowly, relatively slowly, not like a blooming helicopter thing.
Unless the wind is blowing pretty hard, and there's a big fight going on in the west of our country over the wind farms that they have are chopping up our national symbol, the eagle.
Really? Well, it really surprised me, because they're not going... Well, in this country, they go round. They're quite very, very tall. And I would have thought that...
They're the people who want to save the eagle.
Yeah, but the eagles have got the best eyesight of any bird in existence. How can they not see a big wind turbine?
They're getting slaughtered by these wind turbines.
That's very strange. Anyway, back to Doctor Who. So the police stop Barbara... She might have already been to the Black Archive.
Master,
what?
How Stuff Works says, while some wind turbines kill birds, newer models are being built to reduce bird mortality.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, well, I hope they do manage to reduce bird mortality. I've never heard of any seagulls getting done in by a wind turbine.
I've not heard of any major bird problems.
Unless they just don't report it.
Well, it's not generally being publicized because there's a lot of money behind those wind turbines, whereas the groups trying to save the birds don't have any money.
Well, that's interesting. I never knew that. That's something that you've picked up on, which people will find quite interesting, that's totally unrelated to Doctor Who. Anyway, right, I like the fact that you've done it. Thank you, Mary. Right, so now all these things, when they start talking about birds being done in by wind turbines, we can say you heard it here first. Lillian Robin says, I like the Doctor continues using the phrase whoever's dad stroke mum, Ryan's dad, Yaz's mum. And then she says, I keep you seeing Barbara White possessed by a squiddy every time you say Barbara. Sorry about that. Anyway, so she hasn't got the gun at this point. The squiddy thing rises from her back to attack the police officers.
The one shot, which was a near mirror image of the first Men in Black with the policeman sticking his leg sticking out of the car. Very similar.
Sadly,
to that
I one. Haven't seen Men in Black. It's very naughty of me, isn't it? Oh, I have. Sorry, I have seen Men in Black. It's not Men in Black 2 I haven't seen. Beg your pardon. Sorry.
Well, Men in Black 2 sucks.
Okay, well, I'm watching.
Men in Black 3 is really good.
Honest reviews by Kirby Butler.
Since when I was in about 8, 9, 10 years old, my best friend was Lowell Cunningham, who created the Men in Black.
Name dropper.
Yes.
Mm. I did forget to mention that when I went to see Joe Pasquale a few months ago at Shanklin Theatre, he did mention the fact that he played Frank Spencer in a up-to-date version of Some Mothers Do Have 'Em. And in the theatre on the front row, very near where we sat, was the bloke who created and wrote the first few series of Some Mothers Do Have 'Em. I think Michael Crawford himself wrote the last one. But I just thought that was quite interesting. A bit of name dropping there. I should have actually got my picture taken with him, but I was too shy. Back to Doctor Who. So Barbara has taken the police. They've killed all the police people, and she's taken the police car and the police uniform. And then Ryan has a conversation, it's quite a long conversation, with his dad in a cafe. Now, at the time I was watching this bit, I thought, oh God, this is dragging out a bit. But obviously the reason why they put this in there becomes apparent later on in the story. So the good thing about that is I can skip past it. Beg your pardon?
Yes, it's called Chekhov's Microwave.
What do you mean?
You've heard of Chekhov's gun.
Have I?
Okay, it's Chekhov as in the Russian writer, not Chekhov as in Pavel Chekhov. It's a literary thing, particularly in plays and movies and TV shows, where you introduce an object which is being introduced so it will be used later in the story.
Yes, thank you for that. You could have said that a bit quicker, but never mind.
It's very, 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 a very obvious thing, but you're going, why?
Okay. Right. So then, Barbara's mate from the dig turns up at the TARDIS and gets dragged in essentially by Yaz.
That was funny.
and notices it's a bit bigger on the inside. And then, of course, the Doctor wants to get as much information from him as possible as to how they ended up, you know, discovering this part of a Dalek. And she seems a bit worried at this point. Oh, and I just dropped mouse. So I'm just moving forward a little bit. And what's next? So Barbara arrives at the Black Archive. And there's been a bit of absolutely ridiculous hoo-ha about the fact that Barbara Dalek kills a gay guard, or a gay policeman.
God, it's just a throwaway comment. Oh, but, you know... Yeah, and that was it.
It didn't matter about all the other people who have been killed in the episode, but because this chap's gay, there's a real big hoo-ha about that. But there you go. But he does get done in by Dalek Barbara. What's her real name? Lynn?
Lynn.
Dalek Lynn. And
I was unaware of that controversy at all.
Yeah, me too.
Probably just as well. Don't worry about it, but it was pathetic. Moving on a bit. Yeah, that's right. So what Lynn has done with the Dalek is to acquire a Dalek gun from the Black Archive. And that enables her to have a bit more firepower. And just moving forward. Sorry, this is awkward. Oh, yeah.
So she shoot out the CCTV cameras along the way.
Yeah, and also shoot a few people so we can see that lovely classic graphic of the skeleton.
Yeah, I love that.
shoot your eye out.
And then the Doctor decides it's time to phone UNIT.
Yeah,
UNIT has been decommissioned due to cuts, which I thought was quite funny.
That's a good dig, I like that.
But people moan about that too.
I know.
Not being funny.
I like that bit.
It can always be bought back if just because they've shelved it for a bit.
Not gone. It's just dead.
It's just decommissioned. Yes, on hiatus, yeah. But yeah,
it's been defunded.
And the thing I like most about that is the fact that the Doctor is almost as appalled as everybody that was watching it was. The fact that this has actually happened.
Everybody's whinged about it, but they missed the fact that the Doctor was like, what? What? Yeah. All the way through.
So yeah, that was quite good. She can't believe it. But it's quite nice the fact that she's obviously referencing, Kate Stewart and things like that. She didn't mention Osgood, though, did she?
For the next series, hopefully.
What, the re-institutionalising of UNIT?
Yeah, I'd like to see her work with UNIT. It'd be interesting to see the dynamic that she brings to that as well.
What I forgot to mention was that when Ryan's dad comes in, he's holding a microwave oven.
Yeah, very handy, that.
Yeah, there's something coming back there. Something to do with Chekhov. I don't know what's going on there, but the fact that, there was a bit of a heart-to-heart going on between him and Graham. So Lynn Dalek finds her way into a little sort of, I suppose you call it, a mechanical area, mechanics hut, where she can build, with the help of the Dalek, a sort of Dalek tank thing for the creature to go in. So cool!
I think Chibnall likes to see women.
He's got a bit of a fetish for women working.
Cauterize and I think he likes to see women do heavy.
Yeah, he's got a fetish. That's what you're saying, isn't it, Mary? He's got a bit of a fetish for seeing women working.
I knew that in the first episode.
So yeah, the Doctor.
You all dropped out for a second.
Yeah, you did. What happened?
I don't know. I'm busy at the moment. I'm sorry. I can't monitor the Skype connection.
We lost you for about 2-3 seconds there, completely.
Oh, dear. Sorry. That's I'm back right. again now.
Hello.
nothing interesting transpired, Kirby. Don't worry. The Dalek has let go of Lynn, and now has its own little home in this rather splendid little metallic tank thing, which is really, really cool. And and this enables the Doctor to have a face-to-face conversation with it, and does her stupid little face with lip, where she curls her top lip up and looks a bit gormless. She's done that quite a lot in the series.
Oh yeah, the gorm sneer.
And that is nice to say they've made this one-off Dalek sort of the same height as her as well, so she can look, the Billy Piper scenario where she can look straight. And then off it goes. Off it flies. In fact, again, somebody at work I spoke to today. Oh, I saw that Doctor Who the week ago. What's that Dalek flying for? I said, Daleks do fly. It's not a new thing. Daleks are flying right back to the 60s, but they couldn't show it.
Twitter too.
Yeah.
How did that Dalek fly? Oh gosh.
goes to show that people haven't. The standard viewer hasn't been watching enough Doctor Who. So at this stage she has been released. Lynn has been released by the Daleks. The Dalek can go on a bit of a rampage and succeed or try and basically wants to contact the fleet and bring in the invasion. There's a point in which it it lands and gets faced by a load of soldiers. And when this came on the screen, Deb goes, "Oh, I thought they got rid of UNIT." I said, "This isn't UNIT, it's just a bunch of soldiers." anyway, and yeah, so a few people get skeletalized during this scene, and then there's a point where the commander says, "Leg it, run!" Yeah, so basically, they're not standing, they've got to get very far with this one. And one of the soldiers apparently was friend of the show, John Davey.
But really?
It's very difficult actually finding him in the scene. John himself posted a still from it, and even he said, "Well, this is me here," but even that, you couldn't really sort of recognise him, even though in previous appearances of Doctor Who, you could clearly see it was him. Anyway, right, so back to... So Dalek has... sort of, where's he gone? The Doctor's trying to chase the Dalek in the TARDIS, which is reminiscent of the chase in, you know, when they were being chased by the Daleks. Now the Daleks are being chased by the Doctor. And they head to Government Communication Headquarters. Is that an existing place?
Yeah, good old GCHQ.
Yeah. I love the fact that they put the letters on the screen and create this rather cool graphic that looked a little bit like what's that place in America that that plane flew into? Oh God, what's it called again? The Pentagon.
You say,
yes,
you but say it looks like the Pentagon.
Yeah, that's what it reminded me of. Anyway, so the Dalek comes in through the ceiling, which again was reminiscent of the Doctor falling through the ceiling of the train in Episode One, and then sort of just kills everybody. And what's he actually trying to achieve? And by heading on this, the GCHQ, it's after something, isn't it?
It's going to send the signal.
So yes, that's right. I remember all the dishes point upwards, don't they?
Yeah.
They moved very, very quickly, reminiscent of Logopolis. They swung around.
I was thinking here that maybe Doctor might have gone, "There's no fleet for you to summon," you know, but they didn't. So that means that it's open.
The Dalek would never have agreed to that. That was possibly the case because they're two big-headed Daleks. Anyway, the Doctor comes along and then they do something with the microwave.
Of course.
Handy.
Yeah. And hang on, just moving on a bit, because then there's a point in which they're in the TARDIS, and I'm moving forward because I remember the bit with the TARDIS. I've only watched this episode. Oh, that's right. The Dalek gets hold of Ryan's dad and takes him over. Because they've destroyed the little tank thing.
Supernova, isn't it?
So they use the microwave technology to destroy the Dalek's machinery. So the creature jumps out and attaches itself to Ryan's dad, and then gets bundled into the TARDIS. And that's right. And then, like you say, the supernova was used. But we did really think that he was going to die in this scene. But Ryan was a bit of a hero and couldn't be without his dad, as well as the other people he's lost in his life, and saves him. And
I was a bit surprised that the Dalek believed the Doctor was going to take the Dalek back to Skaro.
Well, the Dalek, why would a Dalek I don't know, mate. Well, I haven't got a problem with that. Dalek's
he threatened them, so she agreed.
Yeah, exactly. And that's it, basically.
Yeah, you wondered why he wouldn't have checked before she opened the door,
So the supernova, well, I suppose it must have killed that particular Dalek, but obviously that doesn't mean to say it's the end of the whole thing. But the relationship between Ryan and his dad is sort of, they've got a beginnings of a relationship there. So they go back to Earth, and then Ryan's dad is offered a position in the Dalek crew. It's a TARDIS crew, the Dalek crew. But he said, "Nah, that's all right." And then they go, and we get the words on the screen, "The Doctor will return." Now, I've heard a rumour that Jodie Whittaker is pregnant.
That might be why then.
And that's the reason why there's a delay. And I can't remember where I saw this rumour. But now I've had all these reasons why we shouldn't have a woman as a doctor. That's the reason why. I'm sorry.
This is with the seasons.
Tom, don't say anything.
Unless, of course, we have an older woman that can't get pregnant. But yeah, that's a reason. Apparently, it's not true. Not necessarily true. It's just a rumor.
Companies have people they can sub in while you're out. You know, having
we could have a semi-regeneration.
They made Wonder Woman with her pregnant through most of it. They just used a body double.
I agree. Why could be a really interesting storyline? The Doctor being pregnant.
And in EastEnders, when the landlady was pregnant, they always had her behind counters or something.
Yes, I agree. And what about Voyager, when B'Elanna was pregnant? They did almost a whole series of her wearing a different uniform and quite clearly not very well hiding a bump, even though she wasn't actually pregnant in the storyline. Right, so going back to why don't they think, this would be an interesting storyline. We could make something up with a Doctor being pregnant. They could cover it. Why stop the blimmin' series?
Yeah. So we can get on with the story, journey.
But we
she wears that would hide a lot.
But we have to wait always these days, have to wait so long in between the series, New Doctor Who. We get a little bundle of it, and then it stops too long, in my personal opinion. So they can't make up the mind when they want it to be on. So they just wait. It's usually about a year gap in between. And it's just my life is sort of wasting away as I wish it away for Doctor Who. It's just not on. Anyway, talking about this particular story, loved it. It was absolutely brilliant. It's certainly my favourite Doctor Who story, sorry, Dalek story since Dalek. And I actually felt this one was a bit more fun than Dalek. Even though it was quite similar, I felt this is something I'd probably watch again because it was just great. And there were a couple of bits that I thought, I was stretching my thing, would that work, the old ultraviolet light, because ultraviolet light comes out of the sun, but they did wrap up the parts of the Dalek in a cloth. And I did also think that how would they have had the power to, at the time, to really sort of cut this Dalek in three pieces, because they wouldn't have had the technology, they only had fire and, swords and whatever. But I suppose it's just a bit of romantic storytelling. But at the end of the day, I didn't really care because it was such a good story, really good fun, I have nothing bad to say about it. Loved the steampunk Dalek. I know, I hope they're not going to be like that, but I did love this as an individual one-off steampunk Dalek. And the fact that when the guns came out of its belly, it did remind me of the special weapons Dalek as well, which was fab. That was great. I think he's done a really good job, Pritchard, in bringing back a Dalek that really was a kick-ass Dalek. Just one on its own. They seem to be much better, much more menacing when they're there on their own. It was great. I know you lot hated it, so we'll start with Kirby.
I loved it. Absolutely loved it. I didn't have any problem with the science or anything, because guess what? It's a science fiction fantasy TV show. My only problem was the slowness in the middle with Ryan's dad.
Which was important.
When I watched it the second time, that didn't bother me.
Yeah.
So I loved it. One of my I think is one of my favorites. Actually, it's probably one of my favorites in a long, long time.
This is the best sci-fi-ish story of the series, if you can incorporate it with the rest of the episodes. And certainly the best Chibnall script I think we've had forever, but because he might have done a couple of good decent Torchwoods, and Broadchurch wasn't too bad. But this is one probably. Hasten to say, I don't want to be, I might be wrong, but I feel this is his best Doctor Who script. Have you finished, Kirby? Sorry,
yes,
okay, right then. Debbie, oh god, hang on, I've got to get me. Bear with me, Debbie, just do a little bit of lift music while I find my jingles folder. There's one thing I forgot to do was get the jingles folder. Thank you. Can you do it in tune, please?
Yeah, I'm looking at the list of stories that he's done for Doctor Who, and most of them are really eh.
You were meh, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, right then. So, and yes, Debbie.
Hi.
I get that now as well. I love that.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. Welcome to my world.
Yeah, well, it wasn't the best episode. Whatever I must say, but after what we've had this season from Chibnall, it was brilliant compared to some of the offerings.
It to his stuff. I just wanted to look at it on its own, but the fact that Chibnall wrote it was what surprised me, that obviously he can do some good stuff.
The thing is, though, you could tell when I texted, when all that we started on Messenger and got
was
you very
really winding up. She must be obeyed. While we were watching the program, it kept on going ding.
Well, I have my phone on mute when I'm watching something important.
Yeah, well, commenting like that, you naughty girl.
And when I asked, did Chibnall write this? Because it was the scene between Aaron and
Ryan.
Ryan, thank you. I keep saying Rory in my head. I don't quite know why. It's Ryan. And probably because he is the Rory character, I suppose we could say that. But yeah, it was unnecessary because we've been built up through the whole of the previous season exactly how their relationship stands.
Wasn't that unnecessary?
We know that they're distant. We know that they're not to, you know, his dad's a bit of a hopeless dad. We know all that. We didn't need to have a 6-minute break almost in the middle of a Dalek escaping and doing interesting things to basically be retold everything that's gone wrong between them.
It was actually them talking to each other. I mean, if they'd not had that scene, and you know, that had that scene where Ryan's dad nearly died at the end, you would think, well, why would he care? Because he's not actually got that bond with him.
In the end, love wins out, and affection for your family will win out in most situations. And that I felt that would have been, a lot of us would have understood that anyway, especially just after Christmas. Mm. I mean, come on, Christmas time is either really good for people or the most stressful time of the year for people having to hang out with their family. So I think it was a kind of unnecessary break so soon after the Dalek had escaped. If they'd actually put it a bit further to the beginning of the story, it would have scanned better, but it completely stole the pace that we'd started to establish in the fact that this Dalek's taken over Lynn, and we are now off to look for bits, and we're doing this, we're on a Dalek adventure, which was brilliant. I loved the way the Dalek controlled her, and I loved the way she responded to it, and that was fantastic. But I just felt I'd lost all the momentum of building up to the fact this Dalek was going to go off and do stuff and the Doctor was going to chase it down, to break to them being him trying to sell his microwave, which is an important thing in the whole story, and you knew it was the minute he walked through the door with it. And that's the way, unfortunately, the way Chibnall writes is very colour by numbers. And I found that most of the way through the beginning, I found that, and then it really got going. And that's why he became the main guy on Doctor Who, because he can do this. If he could just do this consistently, I think this new era of Doctor Who would just take off. I mean, we've had some stunning ones, but this episode, I thought the Dalek was brilliant. I thought the steampunk Dalek was fantastic. I love the fact that it mirrored her making her Sonic. I love that whole aspect. As you were saying, you know, you think Chibnall likes it, like the women working in foundries type things, but yeah, maybe he's really into flash dance, I don't know. But it's just I loved it, but I didn't love it, if you see what I mean. It was Doctor Who, it was New Year's Day, it was brilliant, you know, had a nice meal with the family, sat down and watched. Isla thought it was terrific, she loved the Dalek.
Well done, Isla.
Yeah, she was very curious about them again, and that's always a good thing, to be able to sit down and talk to her afterwards about what happened in Doctor Who and how she did, how the lady was possessed and how she didn't die, and you know, that sort of thing. So Chibnall definitely works for the younger generation as a storyteller, but for us, I think he's not making the bridge between the older viewers and the younger viewers, and that's okay. But I just felt that, as I say, it wasn't the best episode. It was great, but it wasn't the best.
Right. Not, don't agree. Anyway, right then, let's try another little avenue, shall we? It's Mary, God help us.
Well, I thought it was a bang-on episode. In my opinion. Yes. I think it was the best one of this whole season. I think it was better than anything in the Capaldi era. Than almost anything in the later 11th Doctor era. It had all the right elements. And when I first watched it, I too felt the drag of the emotional scenes between Ryan and his dad. But on subsequent viewings, I kind of tempered off of that, kind of like Kirby did.
That might have been my mistake. So much. I've only seen it once. So that's probably okay. It. I've not had time to watch anything else.
Okay, but that is the theme these days. I took it almost as a public message because this is a family show. I looked at it in that they're trying to tell the dads out there that there's more to being a dad, you know. So I felt like the Doctor Who was kind of doing a public service with this relationship story, because I think it's something that is becoming, you know, a theme in a lot of other things as well. And Adam, you said that you, comparing it to Dalek, that you thought you might have liked it better. Mm. I think those emotional scenes is the only part that kind of dragged it, took away that edge of your seat scariness that Dalek had. Dalek just had me pumped all the way through, whereas this one kept, you know, building up and then letting me down and building up and letting me down. So it didn't have the momentum that Dalek has. But in every other way, I rank this the highest of anything I've seen in a very long time. So there you have it.
Yay! Fair enough.
Yay!
Well, that's potential then. So if I watch it again, hopefully I'll enjoy it.
It's definitely worth watching again.
I think you will like it the second time.
I think it's probably the most rewatchable Doctor Who story that, you know, we've had for a while.
I do have one more thing.
Mm-hmm.
We're still underusing Yaz.
Yeah,
and I've read comments that next year is supposed to be her year, you know, the next season.
You mean the year after next, Mary?
I'm a bit worried. No, it'd be next year.
I don't have a problem with that. I don't want it to be about the companions. I want it to be about adventures with Doctor.
Yes.
Oh, yes, it bugs me.
We've done companion. Let's do doctor.
Yeah. You know, it wouldn't have bothered me if Ryan grabbing his dad, if they both got sucked out, okay? It's one less companion.
I beg your pardon, Mary. It's a family show.
It's like, you know, that noble sacrifice thing, you know? And it's like,
I was actually a bit miffed that he didn't go.
It's like, we got to cut down on these companions.
Moffat would have got rid of him.
But then he would have come back as something else.
Oh, yeah,
he would have been alive later on, yeah. A glass creature or something like that. Yeah. Anyway, feedback. That's what we're going to talk about. Rob Lansdowne says, please use my joke about screen resolution. No, Rob. Kira Nelson says, was okay apart from the EastEnders style story with Ryan and his dad.
Yeah,
we all tend to agree with that, but like I said, it is actually quite important to the story. Maybe it could have been a little bit shorter, but of course they had an hour to fill for this episode. Laurie Nick said, regarding the helpline, I was just astonished by her retro glasses and that the Doctor didn't have to listen to Muzak on hold for 15 minutes and didn't have to go through an automated system and end up in the wrong department. Yes.
That's right,
Laurie Nick says, I enjoyed this one. We are back to having a really menacing villain presented in a newly scary way. Just when you think they've done something with the Dalek.
Someone else read it. It's so long.
Well, do you want to read it then, Kirby?
I can, but should have one of the women read it.
No. Can you see this one, Mary?
Yes, I can.
Go on then.
Okay. Laurie Nick says, I enjoyed this one. We are back to having a really menacing villain presented in a newly scary way. Just when you think they've done everything with Daleks, here's Squiddly Diddly using a human as a vehicle and racking up a body count outside of its shell. Though one might wonder if Chibnall has a thing for girls that weld. Oh, she picked up on that. yes, there were slow bits with Ryan's dad and all, but I didn't mind the personal drama as that story arc needed to be resolved. And we learned a valuable lesson. Always bring a microwave oven to a family reunion / battle with the most dangerous creature in the universe. There were a few plot points that those who forget that it's a science fiction fantasy TV show will point out, and I had one friend who was so outraged that Chibnall had done away with the unit in a cavalier way that she ain't going to watch no more.
How pathetic.
I appreciated that part as reflecting our current reality, and it summed up why unit wasn't dealing with this issue. We already had enough characters involved anyway. Yeah, amen to that, Larry. Props to the archaeologists. They lived, and they are willing to work on a holiday. But all, I think Who has redeemed itself with this real season ender.
Yeah.
Yeah.
thank you for that one, Laurie. And then she goes on to say...
by the way, do all Yorkshire cops address a woman as love before
speaking to
a cop? I hate it if a cop here said, honey, but wouldn't mind if a Yorkshireman said love or pet, as I'd just tell him that I'd run out of Hendos and get out of it. What
most
is this?
Most of the time in Yorkshire, it's duck. Or duck.
Duck.
Yeah. What is run out of Hendos?
Of what?
No idea.
Is that an eating place, maybe? No, nobody's answering me, so nobody knows. Okay, right, moving on. Jeff Waddle says, it's the Yorkshire equivalent of hen. All Scottish women have to be addressed as hen.
No.
That is the law. maybe that's...
Happy little haggis.
Okay. Right, then... He said sent. I presume that means he sent his feedback into the appropriate email address, which is 20mb.feedback@gmail.com. Yes, we have an email address. We've had it for quite a few years now. Don't get a lot of email through it, but we do have it. Joshua Dybal says, thought it was a great episode and really enjoyed it. Thought the Dalek mutant squirming on her back was dead scary. Unlike the mediocre Series 11, it felt like proper Doctor Who was back. So glad it ended on a high whilst we wait for the next series. And Lillian Robin says, Seems like 2019 Doctor Who was almost as over almost as soon as it began, because it only had 11 episodes instead of the...
I think that she's saying there was one episode in 2019.
Okay. Oh, I see. Sorry, Lillian. Yes, you're far more too intelligent than my life.
So thank you, Kirby.
Yes. I really like this story, one of the top three of Series 11, and the most Who-like of all of them. Rosa and Punjab were excellent in their own way, and magic is entering the room. Come on in, magic. Magic.
Don't give him hey, magic.
He just entered the room by way of a boot up the backside.
Oh.
And I've got an urgent thing to read. Do I need to read this now?
I didn't like the Dalek casing design at first, but I like it now.
That's a bit of a shame, isn't it?
Michigan, they make a cute couple.
Yes, I'll get in contact with her. Yes, thank you, Deb. Yes. Sorry, business stuff. Sorry. Right, where was I? I was on the I really like the story.
I finished it for you.
Oh, thank you. Superfluous then, wasn't I?
Yes.
Right then. And then Kirby somebody Sloan posted a picture of Pavel Chekhov.
No, I posted a link to the Wikipedia article on what Chekhov's gun is. Yeah. Jeff.
Yeah, we've already told us what it is. Naughty boy, right then.
And then Jeff posted a picture of Chekhov. Then I posted a picture of Chekhov with guns from the gunfighters.
Okay, right then. Let's see if I can get. I'm trying to do something here with only. Oh, let's see if I can do it on this computer here. This is very awkward. While we continue. Oh, what's happened there? Oh, magic. What are you doing? Get away from my stuff.
Laughing his ears. What do you think?
He's not. He's trying to bury himself somewhere. And when he does it, he's usually among my equipment. There's a fire here that's on. Sit by the fire. Oh, God, I've got a very bad shoulder, everybody. It's been killing me for 3 months, and I'm getting very serious amount of pain with it, and it's annoying me now. Anyway, well, let's see if we can... What's her name again? Debbie... No.
I've been waiting. My Facebook messenger is open.
Debbie Melrose. Debbie. Oh, hang on. Right, she's pushing my laptop's
waiting abilities. For my message.
Debbie, good. That means I can catch up. What the hell is it? What? Oh, sorry. The send button's on it. Debbie Melrose.
I don't even get 5 minutes to read through it. Okay.
You don't need 5 minutes to read through it, because it's going to label me to catch up with my background work. You see, I'm a podcast presenter and engineer, producer, and basically I have to do everything all myself. Oh, pardon me. Sorry about that.
My goodness. And you get angry at us if we do that.
I couldn't help it. Got it there, Deb.
No. You ready?
Yes.
Okay. DIY SOS of the Mark III Travel Machine Edition, or calamari and microchips with a side serving of Sheffield Steel. Dear 20 Megabyters, resolution is, of course, a closely studied critique of the concept of New Year's resolutions, in which the Dalek, who has failed to fulfil its goal over many years, suddenly becomes super motivated to finally get round to it. It starts by overcoming difficulties with strenuous efforts, doing all it can to start. Having worked out a clear plan and done really well getting underway, the whole thing falters as several problems coalesce after a day or two. Everything having gone wrong, with the Dalek makes a vain attempt to keep going until being inconveniently vaporised in a supernova. There ends the resolution, until the next time. It should be noted that while some apparently suggest UNIT appears to have fallen foul of a Brexit-related problem...
Mention Brexit.
It seems more likely is the result of the combination of foolish Trumpish instability and irresponsible British austerity. We also learn that the early years of the Dalek expansion into space were coincident with the 9th century of the Earth. So assuming that this is soon after their 1,000-year setback caused by the Fourth Doctor, so Genesis of the Daleks happened 100 to 200 years BC. All in all, Resolution is a highly derivative retelling of Dalek from 2005, in which Dalek has to this time employed technical means rather than magic to reconstitute itself, and does not turn out to be a namby-pamby suicidal sun-seeking heliophile. Tom's dying. Once more, the extensive TARDIS team and extended family and hangers-on are all given appropriate and substantive roles. The Dalek's colour survival imperative is in full exhibition here, and in his first foray of this new era into returning perennial malefactor, this showrunner once again employs his deep and clear knowledge of the show's techniques and core concepts. This story is perhaps 6.5 minutes too short, as it would have been to include a more comprehensive flashback to the original defeat of the Dalek rather than just some rudimentary line drawings. Next up, Doctor Who and the Govia Thames Link TARDIS franchise, or this TARDIS is delayed 3 to 6 months. Please mind the gap. Those are my thoughts, Alan
mm-hmm.
T. Butcher.
Thank you, Alan T. Butcher. Some stuff's come through on the live feed. What was that? What are you laughing at?
Heliophile.
All right, steady on. Laurie Nix has been sort of going on about, she said, just give her a big prop to hold.
Misses.
And then Henderson's relish is A. Is that A or not I?
Henderson's relish.
Don't know what that's all about. And then she says, to a Yorkshire condiment that is beloved by locals.
Yeah, I looked it up while we were talking.
That's got it.
Yes, and then Lillian said, Alan, please put these into a book, in referring to obviously to all of his...
Bagsy, do the audio book with me huffing and puffing and sighing.
Well, I think you might as well just take all the clips out of the episodes and watch it you bothered to turn up for. All right, then.
With Mary.
Pardon?
Mary's done a few.
Has she? Yeah. Well, we're talking about the podcast at the moment, thank you.
I did Debbie. One.
Jeff Waddle says, easily the best Dalek story since Dalek, just going to prove that they are much more of a threat when there is only one or a few of them compared to thousands of them. Chibnall nailed the Doctor here. That's what she said. Oh, dear. Makes you wonder why the writing for her was all over the place that last season. All the characters had something to do as well, so it just proves you can write well for this TARDIS crew if you want. The steampunk Dalek was great, and yes, it's a bit similar to Dalek, but so what? The creature on the back was more sinister and a better way of showing humans under control than the awful Dalek eye stalk appearing in folks' foreheads we had for years. That didn't make sense anyway, the eye stalk coming through someone's forehead, because it was a part of a...
That was weird, yeah.
But I still enjoyed it. I wasn't sure why we had three remaining bits of Dalek, though, when one would obviously have been enough for the Dalek to recreate itself from DNA. Goes to show that you can't beat an actual threat in an episode, and if we'd have had even two or three threats like this last season, the whole season would have been elevated to a higher standard. But this is really the finale to the season, and as such, I'm happier with the final episode of a season more than I have been since season 5. Hope you all had a wonderful Christmas, and wishing you all a brilliant 2019. Cheers. Thank you, Jeff. That's Jeff Waddle.
Yes, everybody. Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you, Jeff.
There seems to be something lacking in my emails. So I'm just going to double check. Oh dear. Don't think I missed anything. No, I played that one. Yeah, there's something lacking, but I can't. I have no control over a certain lacking that we have in our midst. Let's see what people are saying. Ah, nothing. Okay, so that leaves me to move on to news. News of the Doctor Who variety. So I'll just open up a page to that effect. DoctorWhoNews.net. I'm interested to see if any... I must look up, actually. Kirby, good job for you.
Did we not get anything from Ian Kirk? Does it look
no,
like
that's what
the...
I was sort of glossing over. I haven't got anything in my inbox, apart from December the 17th. The battle.
Because he said something.
I haven't got anything.
Yeah, okay.
Let's have a refresh. See if
you're turned. Listening and you have sent it, can you resend it?
Oh. Master?
What?
He says, eek, I thought it was 8 p.m. recording feedback now.
Yeah.
Oh, blimey, he's rushing in there. Oh, sorry, Ian.
So he said he posted that 10 minutes ago.
Could you remind Ian it only went to 8 p.m. while the program was actually on air? We're back to normal timings now, which is much better for me. It means I actually get a longer chance to have a lie in bed in complete agony and roll over on my shoulder every 5 minutes and wake up. Or as other people call it, sleeping. No, I don't actually get much.
You sore?
I've got a bad shoulder. It's been doing my shoulder in for 3 months, and I it just hurts a lot. And, yes, I injured it, and then it got a bit better. It's got better than the first injury. I couldn't even...
It's getting better.
You know, like if you wag your arms, like you're flying up and down, right? When I first injured it, I couldn't even lift it. I had to actually use my left hand to lift my arm up to the steering wheel to drive the car. It was that painful. But now I can actually physically move it in that way, but it bloody hurts. And if I lie on it, it'll wake me up because if you turn over or whatever, and I have to sometimes bounce in bed to get into position because it hurts too much. And some days it's not too bad, some days it's okay. I can work with it, and I can still lift and stuff at work, but it's constantly giving me jip, and it's very depressing. But back to Doctor Who news, ladies and gentlemen, while Ian prepares his audio.
So somehow you're mentioning that you were in agony reminds me of the Goon Show. Saying someone was screaming in agony. Fortunately, I speak it fluently.
Glad to have amused you, Kirby. But anyway, I did have a job for you. I nearly forgot.
Remember, I'm the only American you know who knows what Guncho even is.
Congratulations. I've got a job for you, Kirby.
I know what it is. I just don't watch it.
Kirby.
Listen.
Kirby.
You listen. Right.
Kirby!
Yes, master.
Right. Google Jodie Whittaker pregnant and see what comes up.
I already did.
And?
Fake.
Yeah.
I did that back when we were talking about it.
You could have said it at the time to save me a sentence of air that I didn't need to tell.
I felt I was interrupting too much.
Oh, poor. First time we've ever felt that, isn't it?
When does that ever occur?
Is that a New Year's resolution?
Resolution.
Right.
Mine was to try not and swear. I've already failed that one.
Yeah, the main link that comes up when you look that up has a note on the page saying this appears to be false.
That's a shame. I wouldn't have a good moan about it. So really, they've got no excuse to hold the show back until 2020. Have they, Debbie?
There's millions of people out there who've got fully fledged scripts like myself ready and waiting to go if they're short of scripts. We've got them.
Have we? What are you talking about? Sorry, have you lost me?
And the fans. The fans. If it turns out because they haven't got any decent stories, there's the fan fiction out there is astronomical.
I'm not interested in that. I know a lot of people are. But anyway, right then, Doctor Who news. New high quality audio recordings of missing episodes Kaleidoscope, a non-profit organisation that specialises in locating missing television programmes, have announced that a new selection of audio recordings of missing Doctor Who episodes have been recovered.
I said that earlier, actually. Yeah.
Many of which are an improvement of recordings that previously have been available, which then leads to the possibility of animated reconstructions.
Mm-hmm. Yay!
There's an animated reconstruction coming out very soon.
Which one?
I can't remember. Damn. But I will be buying it. It's on, coming out on DVD. Somebody will find out. I'll probably get something coming through on the thread, actually, about that. But there is an animated reconstruction of a Doctor Who story coming out very soon. Right then. And I think it might be... Is it Macro Terror?
Yes, it's Macro Terror.
There we go. I remembered! Right then. Resolution...
Yeah, and you keep saying Terra. It's Macro Terror.
Thank you. Resolution overnight viewing figures was watched by 5.15 million viewers. Obviously, that's...
Oh, no, they're going to cancel Doctor Who. Well, they have. No one's watching.
They have cancelled it until 2020. obviously, it's not as good a day to have it on than a Sunday evening in regards to people sat in front of their tellies, because all the programmes for the day got fairly low viewing. Luther got 5.63. And I say about Luther, I haven't watched it, but obviously Idris Elba, who is, you know, quite a well-known actor, still comes back to Britain to do Luther. He must absolutely love the programme. Like, I suppose, old Cumberbatch doing Sherlock, I suppose. Coronation Street had 5.39 million viewers. Well, so Doctor Who was 5.15. So they're all quite comparative. Emmerdale, 5.17. EastEnders 4.74, so Doctor Who beat EastEnders. Hooray. The Return of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire had 3.39 million and was beaten by The Chase, hosted by Bradley Walsh. Good, because The Chase is much better.
The Chase has picked up in viewership because of Bradley Walsh's presence in Doctor Who.
No, Chase has always been popular. It's a very, very good show, very popular show.
What is The Chase?
If you go onto YouTube and type in The Chase Bradley Walsh, you'll see lots of clips of it. And
it was
its format.
A Hartnell era story.
You're so funny, Kirby. There's a Doctor Who in Memoriam, which is rather charming, on the on that Doctor Who News.net thing, including Sir Ken Dodd and others. Always get a bit of a tear in my eye. The one thing that did annoy me, there was an in memoriam posted a week before the end of the year on Facebook, which was quite nicely done, and I posted, this is quite tempting fate that we're going to lose someone that we love between now and the end of the year, because it was still a week to go. Yeah. And of course, Dame June Whitfield passed away in that time. So I was quite upset by the fact that they'd done that, because I think they essentially killed June Whitfield. Well, they did. They tempted fate, and the fate was tempted. She could have maybe passed away in the first week of this year, maybe. But no, they decided that everybody, every celebrity, had died for 2018, and then we lost June Whitfield at the age of 93. What a legend she was! Debbie probably doesn't remember who she is, but she was in Terry and June.
June Whitfield is. I remember her from all sorts of things. Terry and June, Ab Fab. She was in
Doctor Who.
That's why I know her face. She was in Ebbab.
Yeah, and she was also in...
She was also in Hancock. She was in the TV series of Hancock, and I've seen that.
End of Time, Part 1 and 2.
I'm older than you think. I wish people would remember
that. I was being
that
facetious,
sometime.
Debbie. Debbie. I was being facetious. No, you don't. Otherwise, you would have cottoned on straight away. The Doctor Who magazine 2019 yearbook is out, and you can get that from Who Won, by the way. And there's a trailer for Resolution, and there's really not going to be a lot of Doctor Who news now for the next 12 months. I don't know how this feature is going to work in, you know.
There'll be enough news.
But Torchwood's Captain John Hart is returning to Big Finish. There we go. Bill Sellers passed away. This is since we last recorded. He was a producer and director, and he was 93. And... we didn't actually talk about the official ratings for the Battle of Ranscor Av Kolos. 6.65 million. And Ian Kirk's audio has arrived. See, I really did I think I did rather well in stretching that one out. They should maybe get me to write Chibnall stories. Okay. Here we go.
Hello, 20 Megabyte Podcasters in Kirk.
Hey.
Yay!
Resolution by Chris Chibnall. The showrunner has saved the best till last.
Hey.
This is Chibnall at his most chibnacious.
This is the DNA of the most dangerous creature in the universe.
What does it have a name?
Ian Kirk.
It was a battle in Britain involving a Game of Thrones-style coalition fighting a Dalek. They defeated it, cut it into three pieces, and buried the pieces 2 feet under the ground in various locations around the world. One guardian took a piece to Siberia, which is scarcely believable. One guardian got all the way to the South Pacific, which is preposterous. The third guardian was killed trying to get through Yorkshire. That is par for the course.
Yes.
When ultraviolet light is shone on one third of the Dalek, it can just teleport the other pieces from around the world. This thing from way back can just come together again, like the Spice Girls. It can be reborn without having to call the midwife. Did the Dalek make its casing in Sheffield? Like the Doctor made a sonic screwdriver in the first story of 2018. This extraterrestrial wants to phone home. In these times of government austerity and shutdown, UNIT has gone the way of Torchwood, and volunteers have to sort out crises. The theme of a character meeting a long-lost parent seems to have strayed in from another long-running BBC show. Bye for now.
Thank you, Ian. Thank you for taking the time to record that and send it in while we're actually doing the show. So understand.
Yeah.
Right, 21.co.uk.
Is that whowon.co.uk?
Kirby, I just said that a few seconds ago. For once, that one of your New Year's resolutions could be to listen to what I'm saying.
Master?
What?
It's my job to say that. I've been saying it for how many years?
Right, show me the contract in which it states you have to say, is that whowon.co.uk, after I said...
Go back to the original times when Mary was on and was mixing it up.
I want you to show me a piece of paper that illustrates me signing off that you should say that every single time I say whowon.co.uk, that you have to say is
try
that.
Try and stop me.
Doctor Who Magazine 533 is out and available for people who want it quicker in America or elsewhere in the world to buy from whowon.co.uk, and it's got a picture of the current TARDIS crew with a Doctor with a sort of slightly wintry coat on, and there's also a preview for the story we've just watched, Resolution of the Daleks, and there's also a Torchwood story. I have to, because when we last recorded, I think I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here just finished, and I don't love John Barrowman any less from watching him looking a bit grotty for 3 weeks on a program like that. And he's in God Amongst Us because it's a Torchwood thing. We still love John Barrowman. He's a great character, and I'd love to meet John. I know Debbie doesn't like him that much, but I'd love to get the opportunity to meet John Barrowman. Pirate Planet is a James Goss novelisation of Douglas Adams's story. That is available to buy, along with The Seventh Doctor New Adventures, which is a Big Finish production. Specifically, one of the stories is called Trial of a Time Machine. Amongst that is the previous edition of Doctor Who Magazine. Let's see what we've got coming soon. Interesting to see what's coming soon. Bear in mind, Christmas is over. You should have all already bought all your gifts from Who Won. I thought the dog was going to throw up then. Crash of the UK, which is featuring Maureen O'Brien. These aren't out yet. Devil in the Mist, Hunting Ground, Muse of Fire, Scratch Man, a Series 11 DVD and Blu-ray set. I don't need that because I've got it from iTunes. Series 8 Syndicate Master Plan 1, and Unit Revisitations. Of course, this is before Unit was disbanded.
Yes.
Lavazzi. Let's see if they've got a Ceylon.
I definitely want to get the Series 11 DVD / Blu-ray because I need to pay them for them somehow.
Yeah. Oh,
hey. Well, I kind of get them in a non-official way right now.
Oh, I see. So, yes, okay. Any police officers in the vicinity and want to get Kirby's address for catching him for doing stuff? So, I could send.
I do buy them late when they become available.
Oh, you're changing your tune now, aren't you? Right then, yes, Lavazzi. Let's see, we've got no sale on for Lavazzi, but you can still get things like the Christmas jumper, which has two reviews now. Oh, let's see what the other review says. Got this jumper last week. The quality of it is superb. The other clothing, as is the other clothing from Lavazzi, the design of the Daleks and TARDIS is lovely. It really goes nicely with the blue Doctor Who Christmas scarf and hat we got a few years ago. But Lavazzi didn't make those, I'm afraid, Luke, so you should be careful what you're saying. So you can still get your Christmas jumper. Get it for next year. And the Christmas hat sold out. Christmas scarf sold out. There you go. But you can still get your scarves and your Fifth Doctor jumpers and your Seventh Doctor pullovers and all that gubbins. If you're a real Doctor Who fan, you should certainly have a Fourth Doctor scarf. I have two, so I'm a doubly real Doctor Who fan. Right then, Pardon?
I have three. The official one that I'm eternally grateful for.
The ones that aren't official, the ones don't count, Kirby. Back to the thread.
They counted for a long, long time.
In your eyes, yes. Back to the thread. Right then, we got... Alice E. Butcher said, I missed that I'm sure excellent reading... Because of a phone call. I miss the I am... I'm moving on, I can't read that. Anti Butcher says, so far as well as a macro terror. Lillian Robbins says, Debbie, aren't you my age? The answer to life, universe, and everything. That'd be.
No, I'm 42 in December.
I was just about to help you there, Debbie.
yes, 42.
Aaron T. Butcher says the chase is a closely studied representation of life, working with others, being helped and let down by others, getting more stroke less than you've contributed, getting ahead and falling behind, etc., etc. Right then, talking about being a Doctor Who fan, and that leads me on to conventions, trying to organise a convention for Doctor Who on the Isle of Wight.
Yay!
I might as well have tried or organise bunch of half-wits doing a blooming science exam or something like that. What was I thinking of? Yes, I have set up a crowdfunding page with a view to raising enough money to do it. Yes, I might have set the target quite high, £5,000, but if we have £5,000 we can get some guests in and we can get a venue and make it look really, really nice. So if you make a contribution, say £20, you get a ticket for the weekend. I think that's fair. But obviously, if we don't,
I don't get paid till the end of the month, so I can't contribute yet.
Well, I have to say, and be quiet. It's only online for 8 weeks. Now it's 7 weeks. So if the target isn't hit by the end of the period, then of course it doesn't happen. The people who have pledged won't have to pay their money because it just ain't gonna happen. But it's just a shame. It just doesn't look as if people really want it. And at least I know that, and I'm not going to waste my own money, am I? Although, we'll see what happens. I'm not going to waste my own money for certain. I'm not going to waste my own money. But you know, it's just. We will know from that if nobody... We have had contributors, so I have to thank people who have contributed so far, but nowhere near enough so far, even though the crowdfunding site have predicted that we'll vastly sort of hit the target and go past it, if anything. But like I say, 7 weeks left, so we've got to raise... 4,940 pounds.
Crikey.
In that time. And bear in mind, as yet, only two people have actually contributed. One person for two, and one person...
Well, maybe we should look at doing some fundraising, as in, like, maybe do an event in Cowes or on the island, just for, like, people to get together, like, a disco or something, or a quiz or something, where we can raise funds that way.
You have to pay for the place to do that?
No, this is the whole point. This is what to do. To do a thing, you could always do it in a pub, but yeah. It's not going to work.
Yeah.
I can guarantee you, if you arrange, say, oh, we're going on, we'll meet up and do a Doctor Who thing, nobody turn up to it. Me, you, and Alan T. Butcher might come over from his place in the mainland for no reason whatsoever, and maybe Tall from Sandown, and that'd be it. So that, I thought it was a good idea to find out the sort of interest that having a Doctor Who con on the island, specifically in Cowes, would actually drum up. And so far, it's not looking too promising, shall we say. I'm not totally sort of wash my hands of it, because the word might not have got round enough. I've had certain people liking the post, but not actually contributing anything. But like you said, Debbie, they might be in the same boat as you and not have enough funds to contribute just after Christmas, etc., etc. But like I say, that's why I had it running for 8 weeks. So hopefully by February, you know, we might get some stuff going. But Pete, keep sharing it, talking about it, etc., etc., and hopefully things might improve in that department. Yes, are anybody going to say anything?
No.
No?
Okay. No.
It's still a project close to my heart, but I'd like it to happen. But obviously, if people aren't interested in a suggested event, it doesn't sound like they'd be that interested if the event actually did happen and they had to buy tickets on the door or whatever. So, feeling a bit deflated on that particular side of things. But never mind, eh?
Okay, we'll see what we can do.
Yes. So next time we're going to be doing the season review. So we'll be looking back.
Series.
Of the last series of Doctor Who. And I'll just check I've got nothing on next Sunday, otherwise I'll be throwing myself in a bit of shtuck then, won't I? When are we? Oh, yes, nothing. It's 13th, so there we are. Next Sunday.
Already? My God, it's going quick.
Next Sunday, series review. Following a week after that, you've had plenty of time to watch what's that story called?
Invasion of Time?
That's the one. Plenty of time. We've had it about four weeks by then to watch that story, and that's what we will be doing via the journey on the 20th of January.
Okay.
Good. All right. Good. Right then. So, unless anybody else has got anything to say, listening...
No.
Okay. Well, thank you for watching, listening, and contributing to the show. Please contribute to the funder, the crowdfunder funder thing, which is on the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group and online stuff like that. Looking for what's the thing called again, Deb? Lord of Time.
Lord of Time.
Yeah. I can't call it Lords of Time, because apparently there was a convention in 2012 called Lords of Time, and I don't want anything to get too confusing in that department.
Well, we're only focused on one specific Lord of Time, so it's fine.
Anyway, I was trying to say goodbye. Thank you for listening, watching, contributing. Please send your emails to 20mb.feedback@gmail.com, and watch my next vlog, Adam's Bugbears, which should be up hopefully this week if I get around to recording it. Thank you, goodbye.
Take care.
Bye, fancy pants.
Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APV Services production, sponsored by whowon.co.uk and lavazi.co.uk. We are a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the British Broadcasting Corporation. No copyright infringement intended.